You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thanks for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. It is Wednesday. That means it's Bible study night at Merritt Assembly of God. We have a kids class that is going on that the kids have a great time. Not that many kids. There's about four. But then we also have our adult Bible study, and we also have youth leader and outreach coordinators and things like that. And so youth ministry is also available on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. We are excited about what God is doing. It wasn't that long ago, because of the fact that kids keep growing up, and families, you know, relocate and things like that, there really weren't that many kids. And over the past couple of years, God has really been rejuvenating those ministries, and we are excited about that. We have nursery age, we have youth, kids age, we have youth available. And so we just adjust the ministry to whoever comes, so that we can make sure that we train everybody up in the way that they should go, to where they can walk in maturity and in faith with their Creator, their Lord, their God, their Savior, and their coming King. So we'd like to extend an invitation to you. We do, in the adult Bible study, we have tables that set up. We have a study guide we produce. And we are going through the book of Revelation at this point in time. And so we would like you to come out and be a part of that. And if you do, we've got seats available. And I would love the opportunity to meet you and greet you in Jesus' name. We're going to Psalm 43 this morning. I'll read the entire psalm. It's only five verses. It says, "Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for you are the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out your truth and your light. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God." So, yesterday's program, we were discussing, O send out your light and your truth. And, you know, to a large extent, secular society has disregarded the concept of absolute truth. They want to make it situational truth. And truth is just, it's true. It doesn't change like the wind. And so just as God is unchanging, there's never going to be a new and improved version of God, there is never going to be a new and improved version of truth. So I want to encourage you to be steadfast in the truth. The word truth there means to be firm, it is faithful, it is trustworthy, it is true, it is reliable. So when society has exchanged truth for situational perspective or situational feelings, when they're trying to redefine the principles of truth, it is more important than ever for the church to say, we are standing on the solid rock. We are standing in the truth of God's word. And here's why that's so important. When everybody else is telling people lies and trying to make them feel good about the deception that is going on, eventually that lie is going to be seen for a lie. I pray that it is sooner rather than later. But I pray that when their spiritual eyes are opened and they realize that they have been lied to, that at that point in time, they're going to say, you know, there were some people that were warning me about this deception. There were people who were telling me what is true when truth wasn't popular. And those are the people that I am going to go to. So what happened for me was I realized at some point in time that there were some things that were being propagated on a national level that weren't true. So what I did in that season was I eliminated the voices of deception, the voices of propaganda, instead of voices of truth. And you know what that is? That's extremely liberating. Okay? And so if you find that there are people who are lying to you, don't give them an opportunity to be a voice of influence in your life. Do not follow deceiving spirits. Do not follow deceiving personalities. Do not follow deceiving corporations. You know, if someone lies to me, for when our kids were growing up, that was one of the things. We had various levels of correction depending upon the type of misbehavior that had gone on. Lying was one of those things that got you promoted to the serious level, the maximum level of correction that we viewed, because the Bible says all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. We don't want lying to be, we didn't want it to be part of our kids' vernacular, part of their nature. And so we did not follow some of the same paths that other people were following, because we didn't want them to one day say, well, if they lied to me about that, maybe they're lying to me about Jesus as well. We didn't want that to happen. And so we just continued to speak truth. Now, here's one of the things that society will do is many times they will lie to you, not telling you false information, but telling you what you want to hear instead of necessarily telling you the truth about what you're asking. And I've had people that tell me that we told you what you wanted to hear. Well, what I want to hear is the truth. That's what every person needs to hear. And so we have the truth of God. We have the truth of God's word. And so that is the metric. Does God confirm that this is true? And does God's word confirm that this is true? If it doesn't, then it's not going to be true. And there are people who believe deception because it's very popular, it's very intentional, it's very pervasive throughout society. And a lot of times people are believing things, thinking it's true, not realizing that they are being deceived. So not only does truth have to align with God and with God's word, but it also has to align with God's chosen destination for us. So listen to what the psalmist says in verse number 3, the latter part. Let them lead me. Okay? So God leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So the light of God and the truth of God are meant to be leading influences in our life, not just tangential influences. They're not just supposed to be something we come in contact with as an experience on the outer edges of our personality and of our life, but they're supposed to be core. They're supposed to be part of our center, to where these things, God's light and God's truth, lead us. Not our feelings, not the crowd, not the mob. God and his word, his revelation, his illumination, and his truth, that they lead us, and here's where it is going to lead us, okay? Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. So that reference to your holy hill would be a reference to Jerusalem, which is elevated, and it was the city of David. It was the city of God. And so it's like, bring me to that community of people where God has exalted his name. And it not only is reconnecting us or leading us to reconnect with the people of God and the God of the people, but it's leading us to the house of God and to your tabernacle. So God's light, and you know, if it's a illumination from God, it's going to have a leading influence, and it's going to lead us back to the community of God, and it's going to lead us back to the house of God. And we're starting to see that on a large scale. It's kind of like the latest crowd thing that is going on, and I'm celebrating that. I'm not criticizing that, but we need to be prepared to anchor people and ground them in their faith so that they are be able to withstand when the winds shift. Society's winds are like a pendulum. They just swing all over the place. I like to watch some nature videos, and I've seen some really cute ones. Like, I like to watch ones where dogs are playing with babies and making the babies giggle and smile. I mean, that just brings cheer to my heart. And I also like some of the videos where it shows different animals that have encountered trampolines, and they just get a kick out of jumping on that. Dismounts are much less graceful. Let's put it that way. They get to bouncing, and next thing you know, they're experiencing the same thing that humans do, and they get launched right off of the trampoline awkwardly instead of landing gracefully. But I remember seeing this one video of an animal that was doing something, and it involved a suspended article. I don't remember if it was a swing or what it was, but this animal was, you know, entertaining itself with this thing, and the plane of the swing of this article, it ceased being perpendicular, and it started being a little bit more circular. It wasn't vertical. It was coming at different angles, and it caught this animal by surprise and hit it in the back of the head, instead of missing it. And the animal's like, oh, didn't see that coming. Well, society, their interests tend to move around. And so where just a few short years ago, young people were rejecting God and rejecting the truth of God, right now there's been a swing of revival to where people are giving their heart to Jesus. Some celebrities have given their heart to Jesus. And, you know, praise and worship music is now one of the very popular forms of music, and there are massive worship events that are taking place. But, and I'm here to tell you that if we don't make disciples, that pendulum will swing, the social pendulum will swing at some point in time, and we've got to make sure that those people are ready to stay in the faith when it becomes an unpopular thing again. I pray that that doesn't happen, but history shows that it does ebb and flow. So we've got to get people connected with God. We've got to get people connected with the people of God and with the Word of God. And not only that, verse number 4 says that God's Word and God's truth will birth within us a desire to go to the altar of God. So there's going to be, if revelation, illumination, and truth are having the accurate influence that God wants in our life, it's going to lead us back to communicating with God. It's going to lead us back to prayer, to praise, to worship. It's going to lead us back to a place where we not only speak, but we learn to hear from God at the altar. It's a place of sacrifice. It's a place of worship. It's a place of submission. So I preached a message several years ago, and I try and, you know, come up with titles that will stick in people's memories. And one of the titles was "Don't Alter," A-L-T-E-R, the altar, A-L-T-A-R. Don't turn that place of prayer into something that God didn't want it to be. Make sure that that altar is the place that you meet with God. And, you know, I remember when I was selling shoes, originally there were full-service shoe stores. There may be some of those that still exist. And we would have a little footstool that we could sit on while we were fitting the shoes. We didn't just hand the shoes for people to put on. We had shoe horns, and we would sit down and help them to get the shoes on. And at some point in time, I don't know if someone tripped over one of the footstools or whatever, but at some point in time, the footstools went away. And you don't miss those things until they're gone. And then all of a sudden, now you don't have anything. If you're putting your own shoes on, you don't have anything to put your foot on. Now you got to lean all the way down or kneel all the way there in the floor. And so there were some ramifications when those footstools went away. Well, the same thing happened with church altars, where every church used to have an altar, a place where you could be invited to come up and to pray and to seek the face of God. And I don't know exactly what happened. I don't know if crowds got too big. I don't know if altars were deemed a liability. But there came a time when altars were considered optional and people opted not to have them in their church. We took the other route. So we used to have pews, but the pews had deteriorated. They were built with 1950s technology instead of modern technology. My wife and I, when we were on vacation, we toured the Billy Graham Museum up in Asheville, North Carolina. And while we were there, the tour guide said, the pews here in the chapel are 200 years old. And they were immaculate. They were constructed well. And then they said this, the pulpit in the chapel is 400 years old. And I got to go up and stand behind the pulpit, and it was like, I wonder who else has preached from this pulpit. There's a little bit of intrigue behind that. And, you know, 14 or 400 years ago would put it in the 1600s, and where many people have done away with a pulpit. I mean, done away with that. The same thing has happened with altars to a large extent, as people have done away with them. And I want to encourage you, if the altar in your life has disappeared, if there is not prayer that is going on in your personal life, not the only prayer that really goes on is when you're praying for your food or praying at church, I want to encourage you to follow Elijah's example on Mount Carmel and repair the altar and make sure that it is God's place, the place that you can meet with him and hear from him. It's, you know, really humbling to think that the enemy has been so successful in convincing people that if they come to an altar, that people might think something negative about them. When the Word of God tells us that it is something that godly people do. If you come to an altar, it's not because there's necessarily something wrong with you. It's that you are recognizing that you have a need to hear from God. And so I'm going to be preaching a message. I'm going to be leading worship this coming Sunday. And preaching, you know, at the same time. And I've got this message that I'm working on. I don't know exactly when I'm going to preach it yet, but it's going to be a sermon series, about the needs that we have in our life. Apart from Jesus, we are missing the central important aspect in our life that God wanted us to have. We were not just created as land-dwelling individuals. We were created to thrive in the presence of God. It's not just aquatic or, you know, land or in the air or whatever. We were created to thrive in the presence of God. And the altar is that connecting place. And we don't come there arrogant in ourself, comparing ourselves with others. We come there and we say, God, be merciful to me. And, you know, so it's not a place where I compare myself with you, you compare yourself with me, but we measure ourselves by the standard of Jesus Christ. And every time we come to the altar, there should be some room for improvement to becoming more and more like Jesus. He says, my last point. point for today here in verse number 4, when it talks about being led by God's light and God's truth, it leads us to God, my exceeding joy. Some of you may be listening right now and you have been trying to have a life of joy in a godless environment. And I will tell you that that is a fantasy. The Bible describes the pleasures of sin, but they only last for a season. Moses found his greatest contentment when he found God in the burning bush, when he found God on the mountain. And I would tell you this, coming to God is not something to dread. God changes our heart. He changes our burdens. He carries our load. He removes all of our failure, our shame, our guilt. He does all of that, and he comes in and occupies the house because he wants to. God is our exceeding joy. And God's light, God's truth, will always lead us to the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Spirit. Nehemiah, it talks about the joy of the Lord is my strength. And a lot of times we tend to focus on the joy aspect, but it's the Lord's joy, and it is the joy of having our Lord watching over us and having a healthy and holy and mature relationship with him that leads us to great joy. And one of the things that I think is very important is that when we hear the voice of the lover of our soul, that's one of my favorite titles for God. When we hear his voice, it ought to be something that brings joy to our heart. So one of the wonderful things about having the new living arrangements we have at our house is we're seeing a couple of our grandkids up close and personal, and watching their facial expressions when they see a person that loves them walk in the room is that their eyes light up, a big smile comes on their face, and they start making a beeline over to you so that you can give them a hug or give them a lift. And it is a joy to be God's kid. See you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Wanna miss it.